Today is January 28th, 2026. Join me in communion as we welcome in Elohim. Thanks, everyone. Yes. Hello, everyone. So great to be with you tonight. So Veronica asked us to address how to navigate our suggestions about navigating what's going on in the world right now, and specifically what's going on with the immigration enforcement agency that's running around in America, and how they're choosing to present themselves in the world and how people are reacting to that. Now, anyone who's been in this community for very long knows that we don't get real political, and we're not intending to be real political tonight. We're just going to use that really scratchy sandpaper. We suspect it's scratchy for a lot of you. It might not be scratchy for all of you, but regardless, it's a thing going on. And even if it's not scratchy for you, you probably know people that it is scratchy for. So you've got people in your life that are in a similar situation. When you are confronted by personality on that level, because it's personality, right? Let's make sure we all know it's personality. It's personality to say, based on your skin color, you are less or more. It's personality to say, based on your gender, you are less or more. It's personality to say, based on your sexuality, you are less or more. All of that's personality. It's societal personality. It's cultural personality. It's I grew up that way personality, but it's still personality. In the field of infinite possibilities, infinite expression is available. And it's not like, oh, only this third of the infinite expression is good and the rest of it's not. Or this is better and that's worse. Infinite possibilities is infinite possibilities. And how you show up in infinite possibilities is influenced and affected and dictated to some degree by how much personality you're running in your life. That's why we've worked for years and years and years and years to surrender personality, because it keeps you out of the field of infinite possibilities. And when you hold on to those little circles, tribalism and all the other isms that keep you in those little circles that we talked about so many times in so many of our meetings, that cuts you off from awareness, cuts you off from the field of infinite possibility. So we're breaking down that. We're breaking down identity. We're breaking down the way personality drives you to be in the world, in limitation, in lack, in distance, in barriers and fences, and saying no and pushing away. Lots of different ways to describe personality, but everyone on this call knows what we're talking about when we say personality. So you have this opportunity now, as you surrender personality, to engage with the world in a new way. And then what happens, as we've spoken about many times, you end up engaging from the field of infinite possibility. So now all of a sudden the doors are all open and you're experiencing the ability to touch into lots of different things, because it's infinite after all. And when you touch into lots of different things, what can happen is that you get exposed to things that you have previously decided were bad, wrong, not okay, off the list. It'll bring up the places where I was raised to not believe that people with dark skin and people with light skin can get married. I was raised to believe that two women are not allowed to love each other and get married. I was raised to believe all this stuff. And as you surrender and surrender and surrender, those I was raised to believes come up in a way that slaps you upside the head. And they can be some of your biggest triggers to navigate, some of your biggest challenges to look in the face and say, does this make sense from the person I am today, the current version of me? And many, many, many people make big changes when they start to ask those questions. And then what happens is you look around and you see the people who never ask questions like that. And those people continue to move in the world in a way that says, you don't look like me, worship like me, love like me, earn like me, think like me, and you're, so that means you're less or wrong or bad. Okay, what do you do with that as a person who's surrendering personality and living from the field of infinite possibilities to the absolute best of your ability as often as you possibly can, even when it's really hard, and you've had to look at all your biases? What do you do? There's a certain measure of, Veronica's like, heartbreak? Okay, we're not going to deny that it feels heartbreaking to her at times. There's a certain amount of anguish, heartbreak, pain, frustration, anger, confusion, distraughtness that comes from being able to stand back in this world and say, I surrendered that, and yet the world hasn't surrendered it around me. And then you run into something that Americans and worldwide, this goes on in a lot of places, but it's loud in America right now. America is facing a lot of changes to the way the government functions and the way the government has functioned for many decades. There's a lot of changes happening. And in those changes, people are standing up and saying, this is not the America that I was raised in, the America I believe in, the America I thought I lived in. And that's causing a lot of things to happen. And so that's kind of a societal version of saying, wait, no, hang on. I know what I treasure about the fact that I call myself an American, and what I treasure about being American is getting lost. And in the process of that getting lost, I want to fight for what I'm losing. And on a large scale, this is very similar to the surrender of personality that happens internally. You decide what you want to fight for. I want to fight to be in awareness. And fight maybe is the wrong word, but you know, battling personality is not exactly a wrong way to say some of the stuff you've had to do to surrender it. Sometimes for Veronica, it has felt like a fight. Like, you know, the warrior energy is on the council for a reason. And fighting to say, I don't want to live in the constrictions that personality gives me. And saying, I don't want to live in a country that's giving more constriction to me. Similar muscle, similar energetic. The trouble becomes when you start to imagine that navigating that requires that you know what's going to happen next. When we say surrender personality, what do we tell you? You don't surrender personality because you get something. You surrender personality to let go of something, to release the little circle, to leave the Colosseum and get out of the building, right? Not just staying there fighting the animals that they keep sending at you. You release it to get away, to separate yourself from the limited experiences that you have been given to live by personality. You don't know what's going to happen when you do that. And like we said earlier, sometimes what happens is you realize how sad it is that most people will never do that. While you're also concurrently living a life where you feel so much possibilities and so much openness and so much opportunity everywhere around you, and yet all the while, you're also seeing the limitations that others are trapped in. It requires spiritual grown-upness to navigate that. So when you're navigating large-scale things, now, this can be plastics in the ocean. It doesn't have to be politics in America. It doesn't have to be politics wherever you live. It can just be your thing, whatever your thing is. It works for all of it. That's why this is so foundational. That's why we spent years building these muscles in you, because it's so foundational. You can use it everywhere. And when it's loud like this, you need to use it. And the idea that I don't know what to do about blank that's upsetting me because I don't know how to get an outcome that I want. Well, there's that outcome word. And that's the what I want word. So we're going to skip not skip, we're going to set down the politics piece just for a second and use the plastics and the oceans piece because it's less charged and we've been using it for a long time, so we may as well continue. So Veronica can't stop there being plastics in the ocean at this point in her life. She watches these videos where the rivers are clogged with plastic bottles and the beaches are swamped with wave after wave of plastic. Even they clean them up and an hour later you can't even tell they cleaned. And her heart breaks. And she thinks, what can I do? She can't change the fact that that river in a country she's never been to and probably never will visit is full of plastic. What can she do at home? She can change the way she interacts with the trash in her life, both by picking it up when she's walking around, getting it out of rivers. She gets trash out of rivers, creeks, they're more like creeks, where there's beavers. She was blown away to learn that there's beaver dams in Sonoma. There are at least one. And she's doing her trash differently. That's her start, right? The outcome that she'd love to do is to wiggle her nose and the plastics would be out of the oceans and the animals wouldn't be eating microplastics and you wouldn't have la 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 la. Back it up. Start there and back it up. Back it up until it's in your lap. What is in your lap right now? What is the thing that you choicelessly do or think or feel or sit with? Because you've backed up into your lap, which is what we've been telling you for years. So when you look at the world and you say, it really bothers me that this blank thing is happening. I want that to stop. How can you back that up into your lap? Now that's hard to do because the idea of backing it up into your lap can activate your survival instinct very strongly. And it can activate all that list of things that we went through. Remember not too long ago, that big list of things that happens when you are trying something new, because this is trying something new. So you say, I don't like when this happens, and you start backing it up and you get analysis paralysis and imposter syndrome and every other one that we did. And another one that comes along when you're doing it with larger social issues is, if I don't stay worried about that, I won't see when it comes and slaps me in the face. Or if I pretend it's not there, but then it shows up in my house or in my neighborhood, and I wasn't paying enough attention. So the fear can be, I have to stay current with what's going on so that I have my eyes open in case I need to do something. No, what the doing, if there's any doing to be done, it's the back it up into your lap. So that your stance can be engaged in the moment with as little personality as possible, so ahas can infuse you. And then those ahas move outward. When you're constantly over there with these troubling things, you get that off-balance feeling we've talked about. You can have it instigated by the over there thing and then back it up into your lap. Back it up into your lap. Now, here's the piece where personality will mess with you. Veronica said to somebody, you know, when I'm concerned about all the things that are going on, I go walking and pick up trash. And it may be a drop in the bucket, but it's my drop. It's my drop. And I'm going to manage that drop. I'm going to offer that drop. I'm going to contribute that drop. Being told by personality that the drop isn't worth dropping is the biggest mistake. Your drop needs to drip. You can do what you can do. And you may fall for the idea that personality says that's not enough. So it's not worth trying or doing. Your drop isn't enough. It's not worth it. Don't bother. Just sit and feel horrible instead. And that's a piece of personality you can just tell to fuck off. Because your drop is precious. It is the drop you have to offer. And when that drop comes from centered presence, where personality is not driving the story and you're activating the field of infinite possibilities, or you're active in the field of infinite possibilities, you don't have any idea what that drop might do. So don't believe personality's opinion about it. And importantly, don't project what outcome it will generate. That's not your business. It's not Veronica's business whether the mom who said to her, "Thank you for being a good example for my kid," takes a plastic bag with her, a paper bag with her next time she goes on a walk and picks up garbage while she's out walking with her kid. Maybe she's inspired to do something like that. Maybe she's not. That's not Veronica's business. In fact, it's really not her business. It's not her business how anybody reacts. It's her business to be deeply present and centered, acting in a way that's driven by choicelessness and fueled by clarity. That's it. So whatever your thing is, you know, we've been talking about your thing for a while, because it's the doorway to living in the field of infinite possibilities. But it's also the solution to situations where you feel powerless. And you can say, "Ah, Elohim, how can sewing or crocheting or writing a book be the answer to powerlessness?" Well, why wouldn't it be? You're making the world different through your actions that are driven by choicelessness and clarity. Remember the lady? We told you about the lady who crocheted or knitted hats and got a whole bunch of other people interested in it too. And they would sell the hats, and then they bought an MRI machine for their town so people don't have to drive 4 hours each way to get an MRI. Remember that lady? We're pretty sure we told you about her. She just started by making a hat. At the end of the day, does she know that when she's crocheting that first hat, that this is going to end up making an MRI machine be in the local community center? No. She just knew she had to knit a hat. Very few things, actually, that you do, do you actually know how it's going to turn out in the end. Maybe if you have a big blueprint and you're building a house or making a bridge or something, you might be like, "All right, well, this is what we're doing." But you won't know that the tool will get broken, or they'll run out of the right screws and you'll have to change things. You don't know how it's going to go. You might have an idea of like the end result when in those circumstances. But like the example Veronica gave before we turned the computer on, she's got this Energetics of 2026 video. She wants to share it on YouTube. But she was like, "You know, I've been having fun making new websites, so I'm going to make a new website for Elohim. And it's going to focus on the tools." Okay, so she does that. She's like, "All right, I want to finish the website and then connect the video to the website." Okay, cool, I'm going to do that. And she was like, "You know, what I really want and feels really clear is to get these tools into the hands of people that will help them or potentially help them. Give people a chance to be empowered by the tools the way all of you have been empowered by the tools over the years. That's what I really want to do. And maybe people will buy the book and or buy the cards and they'll have it and that'll help them maybe. But in this time, that doesn't feel like enough. So I'm going to do something more." And this morning she came in and she didn't have this idea. She was just like, she sat down, she was going to do one thing. And the next thing you know, she was figuring out how to set up an email series where you sign up once and every day you get an email with a different tool. And it's a discussion of a different tool. So she was setting that up today. It took hours and she was doing it. And she was like, "Yeah, that feels better. That feels like the right thing to do." And then there's the journey with that. Now, where does that go from there, right? And then as we were setting up the meeting, she was talking to the folks here on live that are on live. And she was like, "You know, I've kind of wanted to get back to that Choice for Consciousness series. And I have it organized to make a book with even more tools, and maybe I should do a book with the tools of how to surrender personality. And she was like, "Oh yeah, all that feels really, that all feels really good. I think I'll move in that direction." And there we are. It started with just that silly energies of 2026 video and wanting to put that out in the world, but not quite feeling like it was exactly the right thing. Well, it needed more. And she created infrastructure around it. And now there's a new website. And now there might be new books. And now there's this email series. And those are the things that are happening. The drop became a big drop. And it might be a really big drop. Who knows? But energetically, it's already profound. It's already huge. And like she said, I think it would be good for me to spend the next 50 days writing up Elohim material each day. Doing an immersive in the foundational stuff. I think that would be good for me. So that's what I'm going to do. And it's just that casual. It's not like, oh God, I have to do this thing. It's so important. What? This is my contribution. This is how I'm handling the fact that the world seems crazy to me right now. And that's none of that. It's, you know, I think this material might be supportive to people. It's been supportive to plenty of people so far. Let's give it the opportunity to support other people. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Type, 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 type. There you go. And when the energy of the news shows up and says what it says, and the feelings arise because of that, she can drop into her lap and get centered around, I have this project I'm working on that feels as though it makes a contribution. Now, get you really careful because that can get outcome-y really easy, right? It's more, the better way to even say that is just the stance of, I'm going to open this door. I don't know who's going to walk through it, but my job is to open it. So I'm going to open this door. And that's what she's doing. She's opening a door. So when you're faced with something in your life, whether it's political or whatever it might be, that creates challenge for you, back it up into your lap. Another way to think about that is take a small bite of it. What's a big bite? Get all the plastics out of the oceans everywhere and the rivers and creeks. Okay, I can't do that. But what I can do is get some garbage out of my creek. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that consistently. We would love it if any of you have examples of something that's going on with you that you're troubled by or that you feel like you need our help backing up into your lap. Feel free to type or make any comments you want about what we've talked about so far tonight. It's your turn. We're going to drink water. The surrender of personality work that we've done has primed you to be ready for challenging times. Nancy says, this is extremely timely and helpful. Great, Nancy. We're very glad to hear that. The temptation when things are troubling, extra troubling, is to fall back on personality because personality is still the habitual state of a tide of a trillion lifetimes. And you see personality everywhere. So falling back on that personality, it's not a hard move. That's not the tricky part. So you have to remind yourself, okay, even in this moment that feels the hardest, letting personality be in charge is not going to help. Now, the major thing you have to be aware of right now is that does not mean that the things that trouble you aren't important, aren't something that needs your attention or correction, not something you have to ignore or pretend isn't happening. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that when you find something troubling, using that as the absolute priority to see where your personality is flared up, observe the personality of others in the situation, and then come back to the basics, back to your center, back to your what's in your lap, back to focus on the present. And then engage from that place. Choicelessness can't show up when you're in outcome focus. Choicelessness can't show up when you are in the grips of personality. You've got to recover from the slip back into personality. And then you can engage. And you have to be so careful that you don't hear these words as, I should just ignore the situation, or I have to make it not matter to me somehow. That's not what we're saying. The fact that you see a big red flag waving in front of your eyes is true for you. And it's the opportunity to say, okay, wow, that really matters to me. Now let me examine my experience in that. And for many people that Veronica has been talking to about this, the experience in examining it is, I don't know what to do. I'm really upset, scared, worried, frightened, pissed off, and I don't know what to do. Finding your center, knowing the truth that that is still a thing that's going on while you're engaging with your center. It's a bit like when we talk about how being present while the ambulance was driving down the freeway or driving down the highway the other day, and we were like, you hear the siren, just let it go by. You do your part first. Now, in that case, if you're the paramedic, you go with the siren. So some people are going to go with the siren because that's their part. If it's not your part to go with the siren, then what is your part? I don't know what to do, Elohim. Where do you start? You start with acknowledging the truth of how you're experiencing the situation. And then connecting very carefully to your center as you observe the way personality is trying to limit you and drag you around. A lot of times what personality will say is you're powerless. There's no hope. Give up. Or be afraid. Be paralyzed. There are other things in there. That's why we keep using Veronica's example, because it's the example we have to work with. She'll read the news and feel like, I don't know what to do, and she'll just go pick up garbage because that's something she knows how to do. I don't know what to do isn't a stopping point. It's information. Tiffany said, in earlier meetings, you have mentioned the desire in us for things to be easy. That has come up for me a lot. Personality comes up around the difference between clarity and simplicity. I've gone on tangents feeling like I shouldn't need to want it to be easy, like it's lazy or I'm selfish. But I suspect I can pivot to clarity isn't wanting things to be easy. I notice it around relationship with trash around me and how I create each day. So personality will say something like, because it's not easy, you shouldn't do it. Or because it's not easy, there's something wrong with you, right? Personality will take that word easy and co-opt it. And our invitation would be to say, oh, I see. I'm tempted to believe that easy has anything to do with this. Right? If you have absolute, like, okay, let's use an example, a drastic example to make our point. If you see that someone has crashed their car and you need to help them and you have to run to their car and you're like, it's not easy to run in these shoes. You can see, we hope, that it's absolutely irrelevant how easy it is for you to run. That's not even part of the equation. I've got on hard to run in shoes. I don't even notice because me feeling like this is an easy thing is so irrelevant compared to this person who needs assistance immediately. Does that make sense to you, Tiff? She says, yes. So now you're in a situation where you can see easy is irrelevant. So if it's not that kind of an emergency, right? All of a sudden it's like, well, it doesn't feel easy. And personality goes, ha ha, this is the place. I can mess with her around. It should be easy. And if it's not, it means just don't go there. Don't think about it. Don't do it or feel shitty about it. I'm like, well, what if easy wasn't even relevant? It wasn't easy for Veronica to start picking up trash. It was awkward. She didn't want people to look at her. Sound familiar? Remember back in the day? She didn't want people to look at her, which is why she didn't want to be a channel. What if she had given up on that? I don't want people to look at me. And then finally she went, I don't care. And sometimes they talk to her. And she's always surprised, like, oh, you can actually see me doing this thing that I'm just sort of doing by myself, for myself. You can see me and you're talking to me. What are you asking me? Why are you talking to me? What do you want? It's a very weird experience for her. She watches videos about other people who pick up trash on Instagram. She sees them. Maybe some of you have seen them. And the thing that shocks her the most is that people don't offer to help. People will come up to these guys and say, oh, I see you on TikTok every day. You're out here picking up trash. Good on you, mate. And she's like, not a single one has said, do you need help? Now, maybe the guy leaves that part out. Maybe. But there's more than one person who makes these videos about picking up trash. And people don't offer to help. She finds that weird. Just a little insight into Veronica. She doesn't want people to talk to her when she's picking up trash, but she also thinks it's weird that people don't offer to help. She's working on some things. She's like, they don't need to help me, but they could help that guy. That's interesting. Might want to spend some time sitting with that one. She actually would like people to help, but it only because she wants to have a group of people all wearing those orange vests to clean up a busy road where she doesn't want to be by herself because she's afraid she'll get hit by a car if she's by herself. So in that way, she does want help. But only so that she doesn't get hit by a car. Otherwise, she would do it by herself. Humans, never ending interesting. Backing it up into your lap. Backing it up into your lap. Veronica was asking some friends, have you seen any ICE patrols? That's the border enforcement people. Have you seen any in Sonoma? And everybody said, no, I haven't. And she was like, aren't we lucky that we're not actually having to make decisions based on seeing it with our own eyes? We're only having to make decisions based on reading and seeing it on video. Backing it up into your own lap, even when your lap isn't being forced Because when your lap is forced, let's say you do encounter something like that, whatever it looks like in your world, you're going to immediately want to be present. You're going to immediately want to get centered. You're going to immediately want to use every tool in the book so personality isn't the one that responds in that situation. You do not want personality running the show ever, and especially not in moments like that. We got a lot of tools. We have not yet given you a tool for you've gotten pulled over by a law enforcement officer. We never talk about stuff like that. But you can use what we've taught you about everything else. Get deeply present. Watch the temptation to go into outcome. Watch the temptation to have fear run the show. And listen for choicelessness and ahas. You have every bit of ability to be the calm in the storm because you have skills when it comes to surrendering personality and moving from clarity. No matter if it's, you know, your grandkids are having a hard time at school, or you're having a hard time with the government, or you're having a hard time at work. You have the ability to move from your center using clarity and choicelessness as your guides, no matter what you're doing. And yeah, it is a lot easier when you're in the quiet of your own home and you're fed and you're warm enough or cold enough so that you're comfortable. But you're not always going to be that person. Now, we're reminding you, the thing that we're remembering is the time that Veronica helped save that man's life in the Safeway parking lot. And in that moment, how calm she and the other ladies that were working with that man were, and how they had the ability to be deeply present with each other, and how the world kind of went silent around them. And there was such profound focus. Anybody else want to say anything? We'd sure like to hear from you tonight about all this. When we said in the energies of the 2026 video, the idea that all the doors are open, and that means any door can be walked through, the temptation is to think that means like, oh, new jobs, lots of money, tons of sex, whatever it is that you're wishing to have happen in your life. But it also means things like, oh, I can see that this is happening on the news, or, oh, I can see this is happening in my neighborhood, or, oh, I can see that this is happening with my friends. All of those things are there. It doesn't mean they're all going to happen to you simultaneously. It just means that the surface area for all experiences is louder than it once was. We just wish we could explain this better. Let's see. Hang on. You go to a buffet restaurant. Veronica hasn't been to one of those in a long time, but she's been to them, and you've probably been to them too. And it's laid out there, all the foods. Now, Veronica doesn't particularly like pork. She doesn't really eat pork. It's not any kind of a religious thing for her. She doesn't like the taste of it. She doesn't even really like bacon. Only sometimes. And she doesn't eat salmon either. She doesn't really eat a lot of fish, so let's imagine that there's pork stuff, pork chops, whatever, ham, whatever comes out of a pig. We don't even know. And then there's a bunch of different fish right there. Shellfish doesn't eat those either. Right? And then there's chicken. She likes chicken. There's beef. She likes tofu. So maybe there's that. And then there's vegetables, right? We've got the proteins. We've got the vegetables. We've got the carbohydrates, pasta and rice and all that stuff's down at the end. If she starts off at one side and she's like, ew, pork, ew, shellfish. I don't want any of that. But it's there. The door is open to that. She doesn't have to put it on her plate, but it's there. And maybe she doesn't like the smell of it. She's like, ooh, I just wish that wasn't here because I don't like the smell. Well, smell's there because it's there. The door's open to it. And you move down and she's like, oh, look at this Kung Pao chicken. Ooh, I love that. Let's have some of that. Fried rice with vegetables. Oh, yes, please. Let's have that too, right? So when we say all the doors are open, it's like all those dishes are in the buffet. And some of them you don't like the look of, the smell of, and some of them you're like, I can't even believe they're allowed to do that. And yet there it is. And you engage with it where? From your centered present self, just like every other thing. Doesn't mean you have to put it on your plate. But it's there, and it's there in a new way this year, and it's showing up already in your news, that all of that stuff is the wrong word. All of those dishes in the buffet are present in louder ways. One of the things Veronica was acknowledging is like, you know, people of darker skin have been complaining about having to deal with the police in the way that now lighter skin people are having to deal with the police. But the people with darker skin have been complaining about this for years and years and years. That's why the whole kneeling in the NFL thing happened and caused all that controversy. Police brutality. And so now white people, light-skinned people are going, hey, now, wait a minute. And the people that have been dealing with this for a long time are like, oh, yeah, if you're catching up now that it's actually happening to you. That door's open now to see what that looks like on a different level. Ideally, we don't have to have things happen to us in order to be compassionate to the people who are having it happen to them, but humans don't work like that. They can try, but they don't work like that so much. But that's part of the field of infinite possibilities and the doors all being open as you get exposed to all kinds of things, both things you're excited about and love, happy about, like, I never knew I could, and I never knew that was, are all in that spectrum. We would love to hear if that made sense, what we just said, because this is one of those situations where the energetics behind that concept we just gave you are enormous, and the words feel very small. Dennis, maybe you could weigh in on that, what we just said, if that hit for you. Because that idea that there's all the doors open to the field of infinite possibilities, including the shellfish that you don't particularly like and the oh yummy chocolate ice cream that you really, really do like, all the same size door, both open. That notion is earth-shakingly, hugely important. And we don't know if we're explaining it in a way that gives you that impression, and we want to hear your feedback on that, please. Tiffany said, yeah, the trash thing for me is just how much stuff humans have created in the world. I can't ignore or personality that truth away, and I've always just been seeing the door. Yeah. And so the opportunity there is to go, whoa, okay, now. I see it. Back it up into your lap. How does the fact of that offer you an impulse or a clarity to take action in your own life? Because you like the plastics in the ocean. You can't control like how many clothes have been thrown away this year, right? You can't control that, but you can act in your own life in new ways. We're just giving an example because we know you like clothes, but you know, you'll feel into it. Tiffany said, noticing how many decisions I make daily, that is my drop of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Susan says, I love the statement, your drop is precious. That resonates and I will remember. It's so easy to think it's insufficient. The buffet feels like a great analogy to open doors. Your drop is precious. It really, really is. And if we imagine like your drop, you're dropping the bucket and you can tell the difference, like a drop that's like pure mountain spring water and water that's come out of like a very, very oil infested oil spill puddle. Those are two drops. And you know how when you put a dirty drop in clean water, how it immediately affects the water, right? So if you imagine the surrender of personality is like cleaning your drop. You can't control everybody else's drops, but you sure as heck can have an influence on what your drop will be like. Nancy says, a spectrum feels like an awareness rollout opening like a kaleidoscope in motion. Yes, we like that imagery. Dorothy, I never thought to connect what's going on to personality, and it being part of all the doors being open is awe. Was trying to come up with an adjective there. Yeah, we feel like we haven't done a good enough job capturing the energy we're trying to capture. We're going to give it another shot once we catch up with the messages here. Lynn says, but where does choose your reaction come in? Well, choose your reaction is choose to surrender the personality, right? Choose not to be an outcome. Choose to come back into your lap. Choose to get centered. Choose to move from clarity and choicelessness. That's where choose your reaction comes in. This is like that choose your reaction on steroids, right? Because you're in this moment where you say, it's so easy to go with fear only. It's effortless. It's painful, but it's effortless. And the choose my reaction is to pull back in. Veronica being overwhelmed by the trash, Tiffany being overwhelmed by the consumer goods, and saying, okay, I'm not going to stay in that overwhelm. I'm going to pull it back into me and then take the action that choicelessness gives me to make my drop as clear as possible. Lynn says, okay, but isn't our drop outcome based? No, because you don't know what your drop's going to do in the world. You just know that your drop, meaning cleaning personality out of your stance, then leads to choicelessness, which you cannot have an outcome about. You're choicelessly moving in the world from clarity and insight, but you're moving with that non-personality stance to the best of your ability. You're not moving into a specific outcome because you have no idea what that outcome will be. You just know that you're clarifying your position of presence and then moving from that clarified position when choicelessness arises. You're not moving towards something, right? Does that make sense, Lynn? Dennis wants to know if we can quickly recap the part we wanted your perspective on. The explanation of all the doors, using the buffet example and all the doors example, because we're trying to capture the truth that infinite possibilities means everything. And it's been a while since we said something to you that felt so important at this magnitude. And we feel like we're not capturing it sufficiently. But what is also true is that we don't have to capture it sufficiently right now. We can work on it together. Nancy says, backing it up to your lap is so powerful at many levels. Yes. It pivots from helplessness, overwhelm, into self-empowered choice, into presence and possibility and action. Yes. Lynn says, I guess I haven't gotten choiceless feelings. Okay. Ever or on the current news stuff? Lynn. No, not on this stuff. Yes. We understand that. So when you encounter something that feels like it puts you into outcome, that feels it puts you into hopelessness, it puts you in helplessness. Recognizing all three of those states, fear, four states, those are all personality. We can agree on that, we're sure. And you say, okay, all of that's definitely personality. So abiding in any of those states for any length of time is abiding in personality. So that's not the right door. That's not the right walking. Like, I'm not going to go into that. Those are all going to be personality states. And then you say, what is the big issue here? What's the part of it that hurts the most? Or what's the part of it that's confusing the most? And you see if there's a smaller version of that thing that hurts you that you can, that comes from sitting with that truth. And this is very, very personal. So it's hard. And we only really have this example of Veronica. She sees someone get shot down in the streets and she goes and picks up trash, right? My world feels out of control and impossibly painful. I don't know how to change that, but I do know that people thank me for picking up the trash, so it affects them in a positive way, and it affects me in a positive way. That's how I feel like I can be a positive effect right now and not be in helplessness and hopelessness. Lynn, we really want to, does that help? Because we don't want to leave you hanging on that. And if you have a specific part of everything that's going on that you want us to dig around with you on, we're happy to do it. She says some, but that feels like outcome too. Okay, then maybe we need to look at the definition of outcome real quick. So outcome focus would be something like, I'm going to go pick up trash so that other people start picking up trash. I'm going to pick up trash so that the government starts to realize there's trash that needs to be picked up and does it for me, or does it before I can get there, right? Changing others. For Veronica, it's, I'm going to pick up trash because inside of myself, I know that makes it feel like I am contributing. People have reflected to me that that feels like a contribution. So it's probably true for them too. I don't really care that much about that, but that's part of it, I guess. And I'm just going to go do it because for me, it feels like I'm making a contribution to my community that's positive, that's what I feel is right for me to do at this time. She says the outcome that other people feel good or that I feel good. Well, for her, the experience of doing it feels good. It has felt good in the past, and she goes and does it, and it still feels good. So that's presence. It's feeling good in the present moment. There's projection. You're like, this probably will make me feel better. Let me go see. And then when I'm in presence, does this feel like it helps with the situation I'm navigating? It did. Okay. Deeply present, engaging with what you're navigating and seeing, is any other choicelessness coming up? So don't get hung up on, oh, that's outcome focus as a way to not do anything, right? Be careful that the personality is not using outcome focus as like a weapon against you. She says adding in presence helped a lot. Good. That's wonderful because that's really what it is. That's part of the reason why she's so shocked when people talk to her, because she's like in her own little presence bubble and people will talk to her and she'll be like, oh my God, are you talking to me? I didn't know you were there. She's not walking down the street going, this is helping my community. She's walking down the street going, ooh, there's another piece of trash. And we're not saying she's got it 100% right. She's just our current example. We'd love to use some of your examples, right? Because maybe it works differently for the rest of you. But for her, it helps. It helps a lot. Mindy says, what is the smaller version of the lies being told? Okay, so you observe things that are lies and you feel what? Disempowered by those lies, frustrated, angry, something in those ranges probably. And then you back it up and you say, what's the truth for me? What's the truth in this moment? What is true now? Where am I making sure I'm speaking the truth? And you may get some insights of action to take based on what you discover. Tiffany, you just say going to do it to feel better. We're not sure what you mean by that. Tiffany said, so is the going to do it to feel better an outcome focus? It is a suspected result. Right? She can say, I feel good doing this in the past, like going to the pool. I feel good going to the pool, so I'm going to the pool, and I suspect I'll feel good being in the pool because I feel good being in the pool. I suspect I'll like the chicken, Kung Pao chicken, because I've liked Kung Pao chicken in the past. Outcome focus is really about controlling other people and others and situations outside of yourself. So it's, I'm going to do this to make other people do something. I'm going to do this to change make the world be different in some way, instead of, I'm going to do this because it's how I have clarity that it changes. The clarity I have is, this is my drop to drop, and I'm going to go drop my drop. And if I feel good doing it, great. Does that make sense? Lynn says that helps a lot too. Randy says she cleans the chicken coop. Chickens probably appreciate that. You have your drop to drop. Are you going to drop your drop by sitting in fear and anxiety and helplessness and hopelessness with personality? Or are you going to find your centered present self and engage with what is, waiting for choicelessness and tidiness to arise and offer you that open door to something? Now, here's the thing. When that thing comes, you may find that you're resistant to it. So be careful that personality doesn't get in the middle of that process. Like Veronica, I want to go pick up trash, but I don't want anybody to look at me. The first time she went to pick up trash, she was like, I won't take my grabber with me, and that way no one will look at me. And she's like, oh my God, then I'm going to have to bend over 100 times. I can't bend over 100 times. I'm taking my freaking grabber with me. She had to work on that. It took a while. So, you know, that list that, you know, we went through that whole list of things that'll get in your way that personality is really good at using. And again, we're not telling everybody to go pick up trash. We're not telling everybody go do something in the world. We're saying when the world, whatever the world, parts of the world that are bothering you, when the world bothers you, presence, centered, choicelessness, ahas, tidy timings, all the stuff we've been teaching you for years now, that's the moment when it gets activated. When you go, oh, I really need to go to the fundamentals here, which is one of the reasons why Veronica's doing the whole thing with the tools and that newsletter that she's creating. The fundamentals. Remind yourself of the fundamentals. What is true now? I am willing. Choose your reaction. Mindy says, the clarity I get is dealing with what is in my lap can be my drop. I too have been cleaning and moving furniture around. There you go. It's not to say you're not aware of what's going on. You recognize that as you engage with what's going on, if helplessness and hopelessness and fear is all you're getting, that's hanging out with personality. Be aware of what's going on and then back it up into your lap. And maybe one of these days that's going to mean make a sign and stand on the street corner or make some phone calls or. It may not. That's not how this has to work. There's no specific answer or right choice or you have to do it this way. There's none of that. There is clearly the back it up into your lab, which is why we had this whole thing about your project that we've been doing for a couple months now. Because we wanted to start working on these things that get in the way of starting something new. Because when we get to back it up into your lap about something that's triggering or upsetting, we wanted you to have some practice dealing with analysis paralysis and decision fatigue and imposter syndrome and it'll never work and all the other things that were on that list in a less jeopardy feeling environment. When it's just your crochet project, okay, I mean, okay, I have analysis paralysis about my crochet project. Okay, I get to learn about having analysis paralysis. Now I've got analysis paralysis about dealing with something that I see happening on my street corner. Okay, I've already had practice working around analysis paralysis. See, there's a little method to our madness, as they say. Anybody else want to say anything? Anyone else got some feedback about what we've said? Susan says, I've continued a little poetic writing and have really enjoyed the creativity of it. It's maybe worth it just to engage my creativity. It's absolutely worth it just to engage your creativity, because it not only gives you an opportunity to be creative, but it gives you an opportunity to see where personality flares up and get practice shutting up personality in that kind of a setting. So if you ever need to shut up personality in a more intense setting, you have practice. A more intense setting of doing something new. Right? These things that we helped you find to do or inspired you to do were new things you pushed yourself into. To practice starting something new and dealing with how personality shows up, so you could surrender to how personality shows up and leave yourself in the field of infinite possibilities around your something new. And then something more challenging happens that's new, and you have the opportunity to see how personality shows up, surrender personality around how it shows up, and then be in the field of infinite possibilities with the challenging new thing. Because there's all these doors open, and each and every one of them is an opportunity to be in helplessness, hopelessness, outcome focus, survival instinct, unhealed core emotion, you name the whole list. And to have that whole list of things come up if it's something new, because that's the things that come up when you start something new list. That's why we did it the way we did it. It was never just a craft project. It was, you know, what do they do before you play the piano? You do the scales, right? Or before you sing, you warm up your voice. It was warm up. Anybody else typing or thinking about typing? Because if you are, now's your chance. Let's look at the calendar, because next month is, we have a meeting this Sunday. Okay, so this Sunday we intend to do the council, and we need to get Unafala in the picture, but not tonight. This had to be talked about. This was, you know, we talk about the thing that has to be talked about. This had to be talked about. So there we are. So we've got February 1st and February 11th are the normal scheduled meetings. And then, there's a good chance, not confirmed, but there's a good chance that we will be in the Seattle area at Randy and Jodine's houses on the 21st of February. So once that's all booked and ready to go, we will let you know. And it's actually sooner rather than later, isn't it? That's coming up in 3 weeks. So Veronica's like, yeah, I probably should get that dialed in. So we'll, by maybe even by Sunday, we'll be able to tell you more about that. But the next meeting is this Sunday, the 1st at 11 a.m. Veronica time. Nancy says, this feels like a clarity plop. Lots to energetically chew on. Thanks. You're very welcome. And it is. This is like a really, really big deal. Really, really, really big deal. And we're just at the very, very beginning of this really, really, really big deal. And we will do our best to explain it even better as we go along. Maybe we'll grind up a few more examples that'll help us explain it even more. But we had some good conversation about the examples we had tonight. So we think that there's likely some clarity happening. We hope so. Last chance. Anybody typing? Say you're typing or press enter so that we see what you've typed so far. Otherwise, we're going to go. No? Yep. You're welcome, Susan. You're welcome. Welcome, Lynn. We sure hope that helped, Lynn, that outcome focus isn't tripping you up anymore. If it is, let's talk about it again on Sunday, okay? We just don't want the idea that this might be outcome focused to stop you, because we have a suspicion personalities using the words outcome focus as like the boogeyman to stop you more than just letting yourself walk through the open door. And it's not just you. So we appreciate you being the one that we get to use as an example. Probably right. That's how it felt. It was like, huh, that's a lot of focus on outcome focus. But we'll see. Sit with it for a few days. You can always send us an email. All right, everyone. Then we think that's going to be it for now. Thank you very much for everything. You're in a very pivotal time right now. And we're very glad we had the opportunity to give you this insight as you navigate it. So good night for now.